You're listening to the Toolstation Western League podcast with Ian Knuckles and Tom Hiscott.
Welcome, listeners, to episode 34 of the Toolstation Western League podcast with me, Ian Knuckles, and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the editor of the Toolstation Western League Bulletin. It is Tom Hiscott. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing well, thanks. Yeah, how about yourself?
I'm not bad. Regular listeners to the podcast will be pleased to know, I'm sure, that my daughter's birthday, well, I mean, we say day, it's a month-long celebration. It found its way into its third weekend on Saturday and in fairness on Sunday, because as we were discussing on last week's podcast, I was rather hoping to get to the Radstock Portishead game, which I know we'll be talking about later on the podcast, and proved to be every bit as nail-biting and as atmospheric and as high-octane as we suspected it might be. But, unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to come out to play because I had one of my trips to Legoland.
Oh, another one.
Exactly, yeah. But, I mean, we had a very nice family weekend. And so it was all very chill. Well, a bit hectic, to be honest with you. We packed a lot in. But unfortunately, it did mean that I didn't get to watch any football, and I had to sort of do my best to keep up with things on social media. Yeah. So hopefully normal service can and will resume at the end of this week, when we will be talking about the game that I'll be going to on Good Friday. But all good things come to those who wait. On this week's episode of the podcast, we have interviews with the manager of Brixham, Jason Couch, and also Kai Mountford, the manager of Portishead Town. We're going to look at the fixtures played on Saturday, the 23rd of March, and we'll kick off with that Brixham game. 3-0, they triumphed over Devon rivals Ilfracombe Town.
Yeah, pretty comfortable afternoon for Brixham, this one. A couple of goals from Josh Parry, one in either half, and that sandwiched another effort from Tom Mortimer. So, 3-0 win for Brixham, home to Ilfracombe, nice three-figure crowd.
We spoke to Jason Couch earlier this season, the manager of Brixham, and I thought it was a good opportunity to get him on before the end of the season. Obviously, that was reflecting on a good 3-0 win against Ilfracombe, but I started by asking Jason whether the game was as comfortable as the scoreline suggests.
Not really. I think the conditions played a part. It was extremely windy, and we're quite high up where we play. So we had the wind with us first half, and we were 2-0 up at half time. We made the most of the weather, really. And then second half, it was reasonably even. But I think we just made the most of the strong wind at our backs and took full advantage of it.
Now, that win comes off the back of a 2-0 defeat away at Helston. You've also had losses to Bridgewater and Falmouth over the past month. I mean, is it fair to say that Brixham have struggled against the top sides this season?
No, I don't think so. We've lost the games, but I wouldn't say we've been completely outplayed for 90 minutes in this league this season. We've noticed the top sides just have that little bit more to get over the line. I think if you speak to the managers of all three of those teams, they would have been over the moon with the win against us. So, you know, we've not disgraced ourselves at all, and it's our inability to punish teams when we're on top, I think, that has cost us ultimately this season. But I can't fault the lads' work rate, the lads' effort, the lads' desire at all. Every game has been on the money, and 2-0 has been our biggest defeat all season so far, and that's only twice. Every other defeat we've had has been by the odd goal. So it just shows that we're very close to these top sides.
That's certainly how I've felt about your performances this season. I think you've shown signs of a team that's adapting to life in the Toolstation Western League. And I wonder whether the question of your success perhaps next season is determined on how quickly you can learn to compete with those top sides, because there does seem to be a learning curve involved.
Yeah, definitely. I think we came into this league with our eyes, you know, wide open and full of hope and expectation. And we've not been a million miles away from where we sort of hoped we'd be. But it has been a harder league than I thought it would be. The big thing for me stepping up to this league is the ability of anyone to beat anyone. And I know that sounds a bit corny and a bit cliche, but it really rings true. I mean, you look at Helston went to Welton last week and got a 2-1. And by all accounts, you know, they were over the moon to come away with that. And Buckland went to Ilfracombe and drew 2-2. You know, Millbrook have picked up wins. Anyone will take points off anyone in this league, and it's the consistency over the season that will see you through. And I think if we can keep what we've got, we want to keep the squad we've got. And you know, I think some of them put themselves a little bit in the shop window for clubs higher up to come looking. And we've had approaches already this season, but the lads have stayed loyal. If we keep that and we can add a couple of players, I do think we can try and push for the playoffs next season.
If we look at the league table at the moment, you've had a look at Helston recently. I mean, do you think it's their title to lose?
No, I think they've got Falmouth, haven't they, on Good Friday. And I think if Falmouth win that, they get within 2 or 3 points of them. So I still think there's quite a few twists and turns to go in that league. I think whoever does win it will deserve to win it, because it's, you know, the top 2 or 3 sides in that league have battled all the way. So no, I don't think Helston are home and home just yet, no.
You're 8th at the moment, which I think is a very respectable place, not least because it's early, you know, early days for you. But would you be a bit disappointed if you didn't manage to finish a little bit higher come the end of the season?
I think before the season, I'd have bit your hand off for 8th. But now you're sort of in it and around it. I think it's us and Shepson that are really battling for 7th. I think the top 6 is pretty sorted. Obviously, one of those guys is going to miss out on the playoffs, but the top 6 seems to be sorted. But we'd like to finish around 7th or 8th. But then, to a point, they're closing in, and their manager was saying last week on the podcast that they were very keen to finish as high as they can as well. So I wouldn't be disappointed if we finish lower, but I think we can get to 7th or where we are.
Now, you've got Buckland away on Good Friday, and they don't come much bigger than that, do they?
No, it's brilliant. It's as soon as we got promoted, the lads were talking about the Buckland 2 games because, you know, they're on our doorstep. All the players know each other. There's been a lot of players in our team that have played for Buckland. So, no, it's a great game and we're looking forward to it.
And there's bound to be a massive crowd there. And I've been to Buckland when they've had a good crowd and there's a fantastic atmosphere.
Definitely. Well, we've also got we've got this band of supporters called the Brixham Casuals, which is a group of lads from London Way who come down twice a season. They actually... time they were down last time was we were away in the Vars at North Greenford, so it was ideal for them, so it wasn't too far at all. This is their second visit, is this Good Friday, so there'll be about 30 of those guys, and they just come down for a big party for the weekend, so it will add to the atmosphere at Buckland, definitely.
Wow. You've got 3 home games, haven't you, between now and the end of the season. How important is it to you and the boys that, you know, the home fans really get behind you in the sort of end of season run-in?
The supporters have been, home and away, have been fantastic. I think We've got a group, a hardcore group of supporters that come with us at away games and have been really positive all season, because the one thing our lads do is they give everything they've got, and I think that's all supporters want from any player on the pitch. They just want to see them trying their hardest, and no one can ever throw that accusation at our players that they don't give 100%, and the supporters have bought into that, and it's really helped the lads on. They do, I think, away from home supporters become more important in this league because of the distance you travel. To have some support when you're away from home is really important. At home, the lads are comfortable there, and we do get good crowds and good support as well.
Well, I'm hoping to make it to one of your home games before the end of the season. And as part of my visit, I'd like to promote the work that we've been doing as a league with Devon Mind. You know, talking about positive well-being. It's always interesting to talk to managers, well, everybody at clubs, but they've got different perspectives. And I'd be interested to know, as a manager, how much do you think mental health has become an important part of the game now in a way that perhaps it might not have been a consideration a few years ago?
I think it's been a consideration for a while, but probably come to the fore more so since COVID, I would say. There's been a lot more awareness of the effect on mental health and people's well-being. And I think as managers, and quite a few guys have said it on your podcast, it becomes part of your remit and your role. And as I'm quite a lot older now than when I started out managing, and the players are obviously a lot younger than myself, so you do get a better understanding of how mental health affects them and getting that balance right and being there for them, not just as from a playing side, but to support their well-being as well is vital, really.
Jason, thank you very much for your time this week on the podcast, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you before the end of the season.
Brilliant. Look forward to it. Thanks again, and keep doing the brilliant work you do.
And my thanks to Jason for his time. Now, moving on to our next game, a much closer affair, Tom. And if anything, the standout feature here is the crowd, 455. Mm. Well, when I say that, there's only one side in the Premier Division that can command that type of gate. It was Falmouth Town. But it was a nail-biting affair for the fancied side at home to a resilient Nailsian Tickenham.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the one goal for the huge audience to be entertained by on the weekend. As you say, they are racking up some incredible figures in terms of the attendance. So I think it was, 455 on the weekend, which, yeah, it's all credit to them to keep turning out and supporting their side. But obviously they're going well, and it was a seventh successive home victory for Falmouth. So obviously it's paying off. It obviously works both ways, doesn't it, in terms of the crowd come in and enjoy much, and yeah, they can support the side more as well. So it's all good. And yeah, they've got another 3 points in the bag, and that was Jared Sims. His goal was all that separated sides on the weekend. But yeah, 1-0 win for them over Nailsy and Tickenham. So another 3 points for Falmouth.
Now we move on to a game that you called out on last week's podcast, the game between Shepton Mallet and Bridgewater United. And it was the away side that went home happy, Tom.
Yeah, it was. A couple of quick-fire goals doing the business for Bridgewater in this one, right at the end of the first half. So it was a pretty close affair up until then. But it was a couple of usual suspects, I think I termed it in the bulletin, as goal scorers on Saturday. We had Jack Thorne breaking the deadlock. He's the leading scorer in the division this year. So, yeah, he made his mark, put Bridgewater ahead. And then shortly after, Jack Taylor, who I think, as long as I've been doing this over the last couple of years, he's been scoring goals at this level. And yeah, he was on the mark again on Saturday and made it 2-0. And that was how it stayed. So yeah, Bridgewater running out 2-0 winners away at Shepton Mallet.
Now, two sides that find themselves at the wrong end of the table are Wellington and Oldland Abertonians. They met on Saturday and it was a close affair, Tom.
Yeah, it was a real impressive comeback. In fact, for Wellington, this one, a 2-1 victory for them over Oldland, who led after just 2 minutes. Tom Blake putting the Abbots in front, and yeah, a bit of a stunning start for Wellington. But yeah, obviously battled back well and managed to get back into the contest. Mark Cornish levelling affairs, and then it was right at the death. So this game was thrilled from first minute to last, really. And it was Sam Towler converting an 87th minute penalty to give Wellington the 2-1 win. And that was the first time all season that they've got back-to-back league wins. So good stuff from Wellington. 2-1 win for them over Oldland.
And one final game to bring you in the Premier Division, Welton Rovers, a team that well and truly finds itself at the wrong end of the table against the team in form at the very pinnacle of the division, Helston Athletic. Helston travelled to Midsummer Norton, but the home side didn't make it easy for them, did they, Tom?
No, they didn't. They went ahead in this one. So Helston, yeah, another side that had to battle back and do it the hard way on Saturday. Joe Catamol scoring after 16 minutes to give Welton a shock lead. So at that stage, it was, definitely game on. But Helston did do the business eventually, turning it around. It was about half an hour before they had their first shot on target, in fact, but they did make it count. And that was Jordan Kopp finding the back of the net to level affairs. And then he was, in fact, it was Kopp again who fired home the winner, scoring from the spot midway through the second half. Strike partner Ricky Shepherd had been fouled in the area. And as I say, Kopp stepped up and completed his double and completed the come-from-behind win for Helston. 2-1 victors they were at Welton.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Whatever the job, with over 25,000 products in stock and ready to go, you can click, collect and conquer at Toolstation.
Now we'll turn our attention to the First Division and we'll kick things off with Hallen against Wells. Hallen, I always think, are one of the hardest sides to beat in the First Division, a good outfit. But Wells City, we heard from their chairman on last week's podcast, they're definitely in a purple patch of form, and that form continued, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely did. A 3-1 win for Wells at Hallen. And yeah, a couple of late goals, in fact, in this one. So a good late surge from Wells to pick up the win. And they had to come from behind, similar to a couple of sides in the Prem. It was Corey Thomas-Barker scoring in the 20th minute to put Hallen ahead. But then on the stroke of half-time, City did manage to level affairs. And that was Tom Irvine who scored to make it one apiece and set up a dream second half for the neutral. And yeah, it was Wells who managed to to get back, go ahead for the first time, winning five on the bounce coming into this one. And, they managed to increase that winning run to six. And it was Harry Warwick coming off the bench, their leading scorer, scoring twice, pretty quick fire goals from him. Made it 3-1, and that was how it stayed. So, yeah, Wales picking up a 3-1 win at Hallam.
Now we'll move to Longwell Green Sports, where the visitors were near neighbours, Bitton, and, well, it was the visitors who went home happy.
Absolutely, yeah. Another side to win by 3-1. So a good afternoon's work from Bitton. And it was goals from Lewis Russell, Harry Horton and Joe Garland helping the fifth place side claim win over Longwell Green. So, yeah, they get the local bragging rights.
Now, only one goal in this game, in our next game, but it was the all-important one. It was the clash between Portishead Town and Radstock Town. A monstrous 362 people saw this game, Tom. And, well, such an important game in terms of the momentum of the race at the top of the First Division. Where did that goal come from?
It came from Kyle Egan, and that is a Portishead forward. After about 20 minutes or so, he had the chance to open his account from the penalty spot, but unfortunately he had that penalty saved. But he was then quickest to the rebound, tucking that one home to make it 1-0 after 20 minutes. And yeah, from there on out, Portishead managed to hold out and gain what could be an absolutely vital 3 points. Couldn't, as you say, huge crowd. Hadn't played each other since early August. I think it was Radstock who came out on top at that on that occasion. So they've split the points this season, and yeah, you feel like it could be a big momentum boost for Portishead going into the final few weeks. I know they've got a number of huge games. It seems like they're playing all their fellow title rivals over the next coming weeks, and they got a good boost on Saturday with a 1-0 win over Radstock.
That really was the biggest game in the First Division, and I think many people would argue that in terms of, you know, the jeopardy and the drama, it was certainly one of, if not the biggest game in the whole of the Toolstation Western League at the weekend. We haven't heard from Kai Mountford for a while, and I thought this was a perfect opportunity to get him back on the podcast. And we started by getting his reflection on that win against Radstock. When I spoke to him last, he did tell me how disappointed he was to have lost the previous fixture he played against Radstock. That was at Southfields Recreation Ground. So I asked him whether that victory put that demon to rest.
Yes, I think it does, mate. I think you were spot on. It was we were a bit wounded from that second game of the season. I think I said last time I was on here. So yeah, I think it was a good game. I think over the two games, I think both teams played well over the two games, and it was it was a good to get one back over them.
I mean, by your very lofty standards this season, your recent form hasn't been fantastic, has it? I mean, there was obviously the 9-0 win against Odd Down, which we shouldn't forget, but you only managed to draw against Longwell Green, and you did lose at home to Wincanton. So has your recent form been a concern for you?
Not really. I think that, like I said, performances were still, you said the two games, I think we played Longwell Green, Chris Hall, a very good friend of mine, and I thought Longwell Green was superb against us. And we were lucky to get the point. And then the Wincanton game, like you said, another, they've gone top of the league now. They're another good side. And we lost our keeper that day, and we were 2-1 up and lost 3-2. So I think that one was a bit more lady luck. It was not on our side. But no, I think it's quite hard to keep the sort of standards when we went on a 21-game run, wherever it was. It's never feasible to keep that going. Do you know what I mean? We're always going to have, we're not a big team that's going to bowl anyone over that comes to us. So is the teams you mentioned there, is anyone could beat anyone. We could go and lose the next five games, is because there's some really, really decent sides in this league. So now I think the performances have been about the same. It's just sometimes, like you say, mate, we've had a bit of luck, maybe, when your things are going with you, and obviously the last couple of weeks before then, it's obviously, like you said, the Old Bank game and the Rathdog game, we're back in a swing of things. I think obviously lots of postponements, like everyone else is getting. I think that's obviously not helped us, because we're sort of stuttering one game every 2-3 weeks, I think, or something stupid like that. So I don't think that's helped with it. But no, I think we're doing all right. We're doing okay.
I know when we spoke earlier in the season, you know, you were very much of the philosophy that the season is a marathon and not a sprint. And, you know, you were saying that at a time when you'd got off to a very good start. You're on a very good run of form. And every manager that I spoke to seemed to be wanting to hand you the title. So, I mean, how do you reflect on your body of work over the course of this campaign?
I'm finished. like I said to you when I speak to you and to anyone we're doing really well, and not down to me. Like I said, my management team, Eamon, Dave, Sam Bendel, and all the guys behind the club, we're all pushing the right direction, we're doing well. We're doing well, but you only look at the body of work, as you call it, at the end of the season, when you know where you finish. But at the moment, it's doing all right.
Because you've been involved in a real tussle with the likes of Wincanton and Radstock, and that's only recently. So I mean, I guess whatever happens this season, whoever goes up automatically, whoever goes up through the playoffs, we know a really good team is going to miss out.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, there's lots. Like you said, the Wincantons, Brislington. We have Brislington tomorrow, who are a top team. The Bittons and both cities, and like you said, the Cribs, and definitely. I think whoever does go up is earned it, basically. they've earned their they definitely earned their place, because they're, like you said, is the strongest. I think you've mentioned it, a couple of other managers mentioned it, listening to you, is the strongest I've ever known it. And like you said, is going to be a few unhappy big teams.
So obviously, if things keep going on track, you're, looking at promotion this season. But how do you feel about the travel prospects? It's going to be a very different season for you next season. Is that something that you've allowed yourself to consider so far?
Not in a minute. Like I said, not in a minute. We've still got 11 games to go. So we can think about next year, or where we're going to be or where we're not going to be and stuff like that. But it's... like we've always said, if we're lucky enough to get up over this year or next year or whenever, then we have to, if you're in the league with teams like the league above, then you have to travel. That's part of the game, and that's what you want to do, do you know what I mean? And then league above again, that's our aim. And we're not, obviously, like I said, it's a bit more travelling and stuff, but that's the leagues. That's the pyramid, isn't it? So we'll do our best, and like I said, it'd be a different season if we do. But that's what we're in it to achieve. Do you know what I mean?
You mentioned Brislington. You've got them up next, and the next two fixtures are fascinating, aren't they? Because it's Brislington and it's Cribbs Preserves on Good Friday. I mean, that 6 points feels to me like it could have a massive impact on your season.
With obviously the Radstock game just gone, you couldn't really get any tougher weeks over the Easter period, because obviously Radstock, who were top, and then Brislington, who are the best, the proven champions of last year, and the players they have is for me, like I said to you last time I was on air, I think finish above them, you'll win the league, because the quality they have. And then Cribbs Preserves, I've been very impressed with you. You beat us at our place Boxing Day, and having a great season. So, and then on the Monday we have a local derby against Shire. So you probably couldn't get any tougher, mate, to be fair. But it's all enjoyable games when you you come up against these teams.
You've only got four home games between now and the end of the season in that run of fixtures that you were mentioning. So how important is it that you keep up that incredible home support that you've generated this season? I mean, do you think that could be the difference between, you know, having a great season and potentially winning the division?
100%. Yeah. Like I said, I find myself even Saturday, we had, I think, over 350 there, something ridiculous, and I end up thanking probably all of them, do you know what I mean? Because we appreciate all the people of Portishead and coming to watch us, because I think we're averaging 200 at home or something like that over the season, which is unbelievable. And like I said, people of Portishead have come out and supported us and watched us. Their local lads is amazing, mate, and it does really matter to the lads and to us to get that support, because it's thanks to each and every one of them. And the four games, yeah, we definitely need them.
Kai, thank you very much for your time. It's been great catching up with you on the podcast this season, and I think, you know, if all goes well, then perhaps there'll be a chance for one last interview before the end of this season.
It's all mine, mate. Always great to speak to you, and keep up the good work, Ian.
Thanks very much.
And my thanks to Kai for his time. Now, we heard in that interview just how many big games Portishead have got coming up. And it may well be that any slip-ups could be to the benefit of the next side that we're going to talk about on this week's podcast. And that is Wincanton Town. They took on Warminster Town. And really, right from where I saw them a couple of weeks ago, Wincanton remained at the races, Tom.
They certainly have been over the past. They're coming home with a right flourish, aren't they? A 4-2 win for them over Warminster. This was a pretty incredible performance and result. A 4-2 win, as I say, and all four goals from the home side, which has now seen them climb into top spot in the division, coming in almost identical manner. Pretty crazy afternoon. Matt Garner, he's definitely been on a hot streak in front of goal recently. I did say if anyone's going to get anywhere near Ethan Feltham's lead atop the scoring charts, it would have to be Garner. And he scored four on the weekend, all of them with his head, all of them from corners. So pretty astonishing stuff. He'd already made it 1-0 pretty early on. Another one soon after, two goals to the good. And then just prior to half time, he met another corner from Jamie Thompson. And that made it 3-0 at the break. All three goals coming from the head of Garner. Warminster, to their credit, obviously, pretty tough position to be in. Three goals down, but they fought back pretty handily and very much reduced the arrears. Made it 3-2, but you'll never guess what. Wincanton returned to their tried and trusted method, and another corner whipped in, and Garner headed home. So he made it 4-2, and that was how it stayed. So yeah, Wincanton. Certainly at the races, and as I say, that win put them top with certainly come up and found the form at the right time, haven't they?
They certainly have. We aren't going to be doing the league tables on this episode of the podcast. We did talk about them on last week's podcast, but as we get into the run-in now, when we get into April, we will obviously be focusing on the nuances of our league tables and what they may well mean for promotion and relegation. We will, though, look ahead to the fixtures that are going to come up on Good Friday. That's Friday, the 29th of March. We'll kick off in the Premier Division, Tom. And what's your pick of the games?
Come for the side that do currently sit top as we speak. I know there's some midweek games that could affect league tables and whatnot, but I've got first v third as I look at the table, and we've got Helston hosting Falmouth, and it was only 1-0 when these sides met on Boxing Day. So the return should be a good one. Obviously, we know Falmouth will travel in number. Very much looking forward to seeing how this one plays out.
It's not exactly the time-honoured tradition, but over the last couple of weeks, Tom, we have been we've been using this opportunity in the podcast to give our score predictions. I'll let everybody know how we're getting on at the end of this segment. But do you want to put a score to this one?
Oh, I can't pick a winner, so I'm going to have to go for one apiece. I think I'm going to sit on the fence.
I can pick a winner.
Go for it. I'd love you to.
I think it's going to be Falmouth.
There we go.
I think that they are
Cam of the Pigeons.
I think Cam of the Hour, Cam of the Town.
Lovely.
And I've got a feeling, I'm not saying that Helston aren't a good side, and I personally still think that the first of the Premier Division is Helston's to lose, but I've got a feeling this game, I think it's going to be an absolute cracker, and I think that Falmouth are going to do it. I've got to give a score. I think it's going to be very close. I think there's certainly going to be one goal in it, and I'm going to go Helston 1, Falmouth 2.
Okie dokie.
Here we go.
There that's definitely are. Going to be 1-1 and 10 minutes to go, and we're going to be sat there thinking who's going to be right here. It's going to be a close one.
Yep. No, I agree. Right then, and I've tried not to sort of monkey around with this feature with on the pod too much, even though we are giving predictions, which is completely messing with my head. But normally when you go high, I go low, and there love is a fascinating clash between Oldham Nabertonians and Welton Rovers at the foot of our Premier Division. Normally, I would go with the home side because I've been bigging up Oldland. I thought that they'd be pulling away from the foot of the Premier Division. They haven't done that. But if anybody has shown the green shoots of recovery, it would be the Green Army. So I think this is going to be a close game. I'm going to go 2-1 and I'm going to go Welton Rovers.
Okie dokie. I mean, just having a brief look at Oldland's run of form, it's tough to... tough to back them, isn't it? They have not won a home game since late October. So to predict anything of that ilk would be a tough one. But they have beaten Welton earlier this season, not that long ago. So you're going to weigh that up a little bit. I will go for I can't go for another draw, so I'm going to have to pick a side. I'm going to say that Oldland sneak home by 1-0. That is a tough one, though.
Right. Well, there's some clear blue water between the two of us. So
I think there is.
This could you know, how will this impact the scores? Right. In the first division, Tom, what game are you going for there?
I've gone for. I do like picking the top sides. I'm a stickler for that sort of thing. And I've gone for Cribbs Reserves hosting Porter's Head. So another huge game, really, isn't it? Obviously, I said about Porter's Head taking on many of their fellow title rivals over the coming weeks, and this is a. Another occasion, 7-goal thriller between these sides around Christmas, with Cribbs coming out 4-3 winners. And I think it will be similar where we do get a lot of goals. But I think Porter's Head might just shade it this time. So I'm going to go for another away win. But if I'm going to say there's going to be goals, I'll go for a 3-2 Porter's Head win away from home. How about that?
I agree with you. I think that Porter's Head are going to win this one. And the reason I say that is because... obviously, we know that Richard Luffman has stepped down from Cribbs, and we don't know how that's going to impact on the club and whether or not that's given players perhaps in the who are playing in the reserves an opportunity to play at a higher level. I don't know. I genuinely don't know whether that's the case. But I do wonder whether if there is any degree of uncertainty or anything, I think that gives Porter's Head the advantage. And I'm going to go Porter's Head are going to win by 3-1.
Okie dokie.
There you go. That's your team talk there, Cribbs.
It's absolutely
because that is, yeah. You know, prove Knockhold's wrong. What does he know? He doesn't know what he's talking about, man. There's nothing wrong with our ship at all. It's a steady ship. I mean, they've been doing incredibly well, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if they managed to take all 3 points and put his head. And I'm sure Radstock and Wyn Canton would dearly love that to be the case. So it will make the rest of the season a lot more interesting. Anyway, we're going to finish off with the game that I'm going to be at the weekend. Bradford Town, they take on Warminster Town. Yes, it won't surprise the listeners to know that I will be at the Wiltshire Derby, the only Wiltshire Derby we've got in the Western League now. But I will be there shaking my bucket in support of Wiltshire Mind. It will be the first time we've done a bucket collection for Wiltshire Mind. And we've got some changing room posters for Bradford Town. And eventually I'll get my chance to go to Warminster, I'm sure, and they can have their changing room posters as well, and we'll do our bit to support that partnership with the Tool Station Western League and promote positive mental well-being. But in terms of making a score prediction, Warminster Town are in no type of form at all. Bradford Town are doing better. So I think the win is going to go to Bradford. It's just a question of what the score is going to be. Now, we obviously heard earlier in the podcast that Warminster fought back. It could be that type of day. I think I'm going to go Bradford 4, Warminster 2. Oof,
lots of goals. I think the home advantage is going to have to, it's going to pay off, isn't it? Bradford, just looking at they haven't played at home since, month and a half, they've played six consecutive away games in all comps. So I think they're going to enjoy being back on home turf. And I think, likewise, I think they rack up a number of goals. I'll say they will. We get an Easter treat, and we'll say they get five. How about that? We'll go for a 5-2 home win. So lots of goals.
Wow. And just in case you're wondering how Tom and I are getting, we've done this. This is the third week that we've been doing this score prediction. And Tom, I can say that you got a direct hit last week.
Oh,
in predicting that Hengrove would beat Odd Down 2-1, which is exactly what they did do. So that gave you 3 points. So that means you're on 6 points over the 2 weeks, and I'm on two. So I desperately need some of my predictions to come in. Otherwise, you're going to run away with it. And I'm gonna feel embarrassed.
All down to luck, I'm sure.
We'll see. You make many compelling cases. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we aren't going to get bogged down in the league tables this week. We will instead, Tom, finish looking at the top goal scorers.
Absolutely, yeah. It's always good to catch up on this, isn't it? So, similar names, obviously leading the way. So in the Prem, we've got Jared Lewington of Buckland on 29. He's got quite a substantial lead in the Premier Division, league only, that is, for goals scored this season. We got Ryan Richards of Torpoint, who has obviously been on a bit of a tear over recent weeks. I think he got six in the space of sort of 3 days. So he's up to 22. And then Jack Thorne again, who scored on the weekend for Bridgewater, up to 21. And then in the First Division, Ethan Feltham obviously still out in front on 42. But if anyone's going to catch him, it's Matt Garner of Wincanton. He's giving chase. He's now up to 31. So those two quite a way out in front. And then you've got Liam Winter of Middlesoy on 23, and also Louis Snellem of Shirehampton, who was on target again on the weekend. I think deserves a shout. He's got 21 league goals for Shirehampton, as I say. So that's how the leading scorers sit at the moment.
Now, just in case you did want to have a look at the league tables, of course, they can be found in the bulletin. They can also obviously be found on our website. The statistics that you've just referred to, Tom, they're also in the bulletin. So just in case any of our listeners haven't had a chance to have a look at your handiwork, where can they find it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's on the Toolstation League website. If you go to the homepage, you'll find the bulletin on there. Little scroll down, and there's also a tab on the top, and that'll come out every week, and hopefully get plenty of games done and dusted during the Easter period, double headers. So I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Tom, and I look forward to catching up with you on next week's Tool Station Western League Podcast.